Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. As we begin a new school year, as we begin a new cycle of offerings in adult formation here at St. Paul's, as we look forward to the beginning of our cycle of journey, that process of preparation for baptism, for confirmation, for reaffirmation, as all these things begin, I found today's gospel to be particularly appropriate. In today's gospel, Jesus looks at his disciples and he asks them, "What are people saying about me? Who do others say that I am?" The disciples scratch their heads and they say, "Well, some people associate you with your cousin, John the Baptist. Some people think of you as Elijah. But most people do agree that somehow you're one of the prophets." Jesus then takes his question and turns it around and makes it personal. "Okay, who do you say I am?" Peter, it's always Peter. Peter pipes up and he says, "I know, you are the Christ." Peter uses a technical term, Christ, Messiah, Anointed One, that saves him from having to say anything for real. The story gets interesting at this point because Jesus immediately commands his disciples to tell no one. Jesus has a reason for wanting some secrecy around this identity as Messiah. Peter has the right word for who Jesus is, but understands the wrong meaning for it. What Peter understands the Messiah to be and what Jesus understands the Messiah to be are two very different things. Peter's hope for a Messiah is based on the Roman model. Peter is looking for a conqueror who will mete out justice, who will rule with an iron fist. Peter is looking forward to Peter's own nation finally being on top and those much resented Italian immigrants being on the bottom. But Jesus explains that to be the Christ is to suffer. To be the Christ is to be rejected. To be the Christ is to die. And then 3 days later, to be raised from the dead, thereby proving that indeed the Christ is the conqueror, the victor, even over death. This information rocked Peter's world. Peter had no idea what it was Jesus was saying, but he was sure of one thing. Jesus was wrong. So Peter rebukes Jesus. He says, "That can't happen. You're talking crazy." Jesus, in turn, rebukes Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter is seeing, but he's not seeing. He understands the words, but he doesn't understand the meaning behind them. Peter is living on the surface of his preconceived notions and resisting the invitation to dive deep and seek a deeper truth. If Peter wants to know Jesus, Peter needs to start over. Peter must hear something new. What Peter knows so far is inadequate. And so Jesus invites Peter to know more of Jesus, to know Jesus more deeply. And in order to do that, Peter must let go of what he thought he knew. Peter must learn something new. Now, if Jesus is, as Jesus claims, God incarnate, then I suppose it's pretty unsurprising that Peter didn't quite get it. How is it that we can possibly think that we might know God? We don't even know our own lovers. We don't know our own children. We don't know our own selves. Some of us pay good money for someone else to help us know ourselves. So we have to ask ourselves, of what or of whom do we think when we think of Jesus? Do we think of gentle Jesus, meek and mild, lying in a manger? Do we think of the Jesus that we heard about in the gospel reading last week, who referred to the Syrophoenician woman as a dog? Do we think of Jesus as a good man, maybe a wise teacher? Or do we think of Jesus as a dangerous criminal who was executed by the state after undergoing due process? Do we think of Jesus as a Democrat, or a Republican, or a socialist? Do we think of Jesus as being anti-gun, or pro-choice? Of one thing I can be sure, and that is that the personification of all that I think is good and right in the world is not Jesus. Jesus is bigger than I can conceive. Jesus is much more than Peter could conceive. And so Jesus invited Peter, "Get behind me, follow me. Let go of your dreams, they're too small. Learn what it is that I'm really about." There's a connection between Jesus' invitation to Peter and Jesus' invitation to the crowd around him. They use very similar words. It's kind of obscured in the translation we read from this morning. But Jesus invites the crowd, just like he invited Peter, "If anyone wants to follow behind me, here's how to do it. All you have to do is deny yourself and take up your cross. Then you can follow me." Jesus issues this invitation. He gives this helpful hint about how to do it. And that's always been hard for me to understand. Or maybe the truth is, it's hard for me to accept. I'm not out looking for self-denial or torture or death. But we do live in a world where many terrible things happen. Suffering and hurt come our way whether we are seeking them out or not. Peter couldn't bear to hear new truths about his friend Jesus. Maybe an example of denying myself is to have the courage to free the ones we love to be who they are instead of who we want them to be or who we thought they were. This week, many of us remembered the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on New York City and Washington, D.C. Maybe an example of taking up our cross is to refuse to ignore the horrors of this world perpetrated by others and those perpetrated on our behalf in response. The news item that was really catching my ear this week was the immigrant crisis in Europe. Sometimes hearing about this feels like a spectator sport, watching Europe agonize over what to do with all these immigrants. I'm tempted to think that really has nothing to do with us. We're on the other side of the world. And yet, given the geopolitical realities of the last 50 years, that's probably not quite true. And then I remember that we, too, live in a nation where we have our own fraught relationships, both with the immigrants coming and joining us and with the people who were here before us when we were the immigrants. And so maybe the invitation of Jesus is to each of us is to let go of what we thought we knew, to let go of that dominant narrative that threatens to squelch every other voice, and to open our minds to learn broader truths, deeper truths, newer truths. That's what Jesus is asking Peter to do, and that's what Jesus is inviting us to do. To really hear Jesus is to hear something new. To really hear Jesus is to be ready to gain a deeper understanding, a broader understanding, a more immediate connection to ourselves and to the world around us. The Lady Wisdom cries out in the street. In the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out, At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. Do we have ears to hear wisdom's invitation? Do we have the courage to look beyond the comfortable surface of things? Do we have the stomach to leave behind simple explanations and sure answers? This is Jesus' invitation. If anyone wants to, follow behind me. As I drew out the connection this week with my children between Jesus' invitation to Peter and Jesus' invitation to the crowd, my daughter Avia said, "Oh, that's like riding on the trails on our bicycles. And if you want to get to where you're going, you probably ought to follow someone who knows where they're going." Where does the trail of life go? I'm not entirely sure. But I have a guide who knows the trail. He's followed it from start to finish. I have a guide who knows the end of the trail. I trust that we're not just riding aimlessly. Jesus doesn't describe for us an easy journey. Jesus does invite us to join him on his journey, a journey that includes denying oneself, taking up a cross. It is a journey that ultimately leads away from death and toward life, a journey away from old stories of guilt and alienation, scarcity, standing alone, a journey that leads toward having open ears, open hearts, to hear anew the life-giving, connecting stories of the gospel. The new stories begin when Jesus asks you the question, "Who do you say I am?"